Okay. In terms of conflict of interest, there was none I could think of, but as I was sitting in the audience, I thought of two issues that I need to mention. I'm a medical doctor, and I don't see myself as a public health researcher. I'm a public health admin person. Okay, so my main interest is public health management. And this has to do with how I look upon the challenges of public health to a large extent, and the fact that I'm a medical doctor also might affect my judgment. I hope not necessarily to the detriment. I'll give you my take-home message, because this is what I want you to remember. We need a globally accepted public health functions framework, and I'll show you the reasoning for that. We need to have professional competencies aligned to accomplish the public health system's functions. That stems from the first point. The third point is that these need to be established, the competencies need to be established on the basis of dialogue between, on the one hand, the training entities, the other hand is the employing agencies, and the third element is the workforce itself. And the time is now. And why is the time now? First of all, because there's a lot of interest. And then the time is now because if we don't do things, if we don't lead the way, we might find ourselves being led. So this is the model we're talking of. And there's always a model in public health. We're looking at the individual within the community, within the organization, or the agency, within the community, or the system, and of course within the national system. And the whole idea is that at each level we need to have performance, and we assess performance at the individual level by having training and then assessing the competency. At the organizational or agency level, we have it through systems of accreditation. At the system or community level, we have things like you have in the US, things as the public health performance standards. At the national level, well, here's where I left a question mark, because I think that every country should be able to define its own set of assessment tools. And of course, everything has to be aligned with some concept, with some general concept of essential public health functions. And now I'm going to go back and show you the reasoning for why this take-home message and why this model. The public health is fragmented, and it's fragmented at different levels. First of all, it's multidisciplinary, which is very which is good because we have a lot of dialogue going on, but on the other hand, we have each discipline to some extent talking within itself. We have programs, and programs sometimes act as silos. Each program, the HIV people talk to the HIV people, the TB people talk to the TB people, health promotion people talk to health promotion people, and there is no external dialogue between the programs. Then there is the issue, of course, of having different countries, different nations, and each does its own thing. And within each of the countries, or within each of the systems or the subsystems, we have many stakeholders, and each is involved in its own thing. Private talks to private or does its own thing, and the government does its own thing. And then, of course, comes the issue of public health within and outside. I mean, when we talk, when people from public health talk among themselves, we kind of have a general idea of what public health is all about. But when I go to, when somebody from the general public asks me, what do I do? And I say public health, they say, oh, you're a primary physician, aren't you? And I say, no, it's a different thing. And when, of course, when you talk to a surgeon or to any other kind of medical specialty, and you say public health, I say, okay, so you're a doctor of papers. And the effect of that on public health is the fact that there is no agreement on what public health is. I mean, we have a general idea of what public health is, but it can be, when you talk to the general public, of course, and you say public health, they think you're talking about government-provided health care, which is one of the possible interpretations of public health. while as we would perhaps refer to the definition that talks about the science and the art of preventing disease, etc., etc. And if you look at the definition of medicine, they're kind of parallel. I said that I was a medical doctor, so one of the issues with medicine vis-a-vis public health is public health part of medicine? Does public health encompass medicine? To some of you, the answer might seem clear. Within this room or within the people attending the conference, the answer might be obvious. Of course, medicine is part of public health, but it's not a given when you go outside the hall. There are different descriptions of what public health is in terms of models and drawings, and you have this kind of a model, and then you can have that kind of a model, and then you can have another type of a model of what public health is. And sometimes it seems like it's so diverse that it's very difficult to tie in the different pieces of what public health is. And if it's difficult to agree on what public health is, it's not easier to agree on what actually public health does. Is public health a set of different programs that just loosely come together? Is the focus on health behavior? Once again, I refer to the general population and the view of them on public health, but also within ourselves, we sometimes have difficulty on defining what public health does. How much disease-specific is it, or discipline-specific? And is European public health different than American public health, or African public health, or Asian public health? A third issue is, of course, the problem of the effectiveness of public health. Well, we all know that vaccines are effective. We've gone to great lengths to prove that they're effective. We know some screening programs are cost-effective, but when you go into the research, there are many public health interventions that we use today that we don't really know how evidence-based they are, or some that are very limited in their effect. And the last problem, and not the least of it, is that there is no consistent direction in public health. And that has to do with what Gabriel mentioned regarding the austerity, the growth and shrinkage of the workforce and the programs according to political agenda. Every time you have a change of administration, you see a different size of public health. You see different allocation of resources to public health. And it shouldn't be like that. I mean, how can we escape that type of flux reflux in terms of creating some kind of basis that everybody will agree on, irrespective of their political agenda? So the lack of a common vocabulary in public health is also prohibitive for the coordinated global efforts. Perhaps there are also too many organizations in public health. Maybe we're not making enough sense to the outside world and to the leadership, to the political leadership. So in a way, if everything is public health, then nothing is public health. I come across political people who say, well, we're doing public health, we're doing public health in housing, we're doing public health in defense, we're doing public health, and everybody can call himself public health because it sounds good. Public health is, you know, it's a beautiful term. But if everybody and everything is public health, then we just obfuscate the terminologies, and nothing is public health. And to quote a philosopher, Wittgenstein said that the limits of the language mean the limits of the world. And if we don't have that common language, if we don't have that common terminology, then we are mostly limited. And what the WFPHA have been doing, we've set up a work group which was designed to work on the public health professionals' training and education and competencies. And the three specific items that were on the agenda of the work group are, first of all, to develop a strategy to globally harmonize the essential public health functions and the competencies based on performance standards. And then go and define and apply standards of quality for public health education and training, such as peer review, accreditation, and develop academic and institutional capacity based on needs and demands analysis. And if you look at the group of public health professionals, which is also something that is very difficult to define, I remember one of the sessions at, I think that it was the previous APHA conference, when there was a session about the enumeration of the public health workforce. It's a very difficult thing to do. What is the definition of the public health workforce? We are a wide array of professionals trained in diverse environments, diverse disciplines, and employed by a plethora of government and non-governmental agencies. So how do you train effective public health professionals? And what does it take to be an effective public health professional? And these two are not the same. These are two different questions. So if we look at a simple model, it's a very simplistic model of what we expect public health professionals to do, is we take the public health employers, and we take the schools of public health, and we take the public health professionals, and we put them in together, and what we want them to be able to do in the end is deliver essential public health functions. And to review and to go into what public health essential functions are, if you have competent individuals, you can achieve system-wide goals. And if you have a systematic approach, if you have a systems approach, you can plan and you can train the workforce in a coherent fashion according to the recognized needs of the agencies who employ them. So what we do is we look at public health beyond the definition of what public health is and what public health does. We look at it as a system. And in a way, by looking at it as a system, we kind of skirt the issue of who does what. Because, and I'll skip over this just to go into, in order to skip the problem of government versus private versus NGOs and who does what, we're talking about the system as being comprised of all of these agencies. And we look at what the system delivers rather than what each agency delivers. And the U.S. has been doing that. It has looked at public health essential functions as a systems method of effectiveness. But the problem is that it is not homogenous. I mean, not all of the U.S. has been using the essential public health function framework. And there are several competing methodologies, and you have the CDC on one hand, and you have the Public Health Accreditation Board on the other hand, and perhaps other agencies as well, that look at the system performance in different fashions. So what are these essential public health functions that we expect the system to deliver on? There are a set of actions which are primary responsibility of the state, but saying that they are a responsibility of the state does not mean that they necessarily have to be delivered by the state. But they are fundamental for achieving the goal of public health and improve and promote and protect and restore the health of the population through collective action. And what defines them is the fact that they are public goods. So the governments would need to ensure the provision of these essential functions, because it's public goods. It is not possible for one individual to purchase a dollar's worth of public health. Only a government can do that. But it doesn't mean that if the government is providing it, if the state is providing it, not the government, the state is providing it, it necessarily has to implement and finance. They would prevent and manage the major contributors to the burden of disease by using effective technical, legislative, administrative, and behavior-modifying interventions. And if we look at the different elements of the public health system, as I said before, the public health system is a complex system. So you might find the health department as a representative of the government's role in the public health system, but it is not alone. all these agencies, and you can take that model and you can implement it in different environments. We've done that. We've taken the model and we've implemented it, for instance, in Israel. This is a US-based model. And you can take this model and implement it in Latin America, and it would basically be the same type of model of the system. So the system, being a system, does what a system does. It processes inputs, it creates outputs, and in the long run it also achieves outcomes. And then we can define, if it's a system, we can define what the expected goals of the system are. And you have different models of these public health essential functions. You have the model from PAHO, you have the model from the Western Pacific region of the WHO, the US model, the UK model, Canada, etc. This is one of the models, not very clear here in the drawing. You have, these are the basic PAHO, this is the basic PAHO model of the essential public health functions, and this is what we expect the system, the public health system, to deliver. And if we compare, you've seen the US model, and I'm not going to go in depth into that, and of course it's not very easy to see from back there, and especially at this late hour. But you can see the Western Pacific's essential public health functions model, the CDC's essential public health services, the PAHO essential public health functions, and what WHO has recently come up with, WHO Euro's essential public health operations, which is another variation on the same topic. So you have a set of models that are basically very similar. And what we are saying is, we can all look at the public health system irrespectively of country, of region, and basically it's the same system. So we can expect the same kind of outputs. We can expect the same type of essential functions, so that we have no reason of having so many different models for the functions. And by creating these divisions in public health functions, we just tend to obfuscate ourselves. We're not coherent enough. And if these models can be integrated, then we begin speaking the same language. And if we can speak the same language between ourselves, we can speak the same language to the general public. And we can have them understand what we do and what the public health system is. And then if we can do that with the general public, hopefully political leadership is just as intelligent as the general public. One of the surveys that we've done at WFPHA is we've looked at the different associations that are part of the Public Health Federation, the World Federation, and we've asked them if, to any extent, they implement some type of public health essential services framework or essential functions framework. And the majority said no, but some did say yes, and there is, even given the diversity of the models, the concept that you have to look at the system, the public health system as a system, and expect it to deliver several functions is becoming much more common. I think that one of the reasons for that is the fact that we find it very difficult to explain to the leadership and to the people who are in charge of the money that gets invested in public health. We find it difficult to keep on talking about programs rather than what the system should be expected to do. And what I've been taught by one of my mentors at CDC, he said that if you have a set of functions, and on the basis of the set of functions, you have performance standards, and you go to the legislators and you say, you're going to give us this much money for achieving a set of standards, and tomorrow you're going to take some of the budget away, then please tell us which are the standards we should cut on. And once you come up with that logic, with that reasoning to the decision makers, they sometimes balk at the idea of having to cut down on standards. So this is one of the reasons why public health functions is becoming a much more common idea. So I'm going back to the take-home message. We need a globally accepted public health functions framework so we can have that common vocabulary, and it is feasible and it is necessary. We need to have the professional competencies aligned to accomplish these public health system functions. And the professional competencies need to be established by a dialogue between the three key elements of the public health system: employing agencies, academia, which are the training agencies, and the workforce itself. And once again, the time is now. I'm going to show you the model once again. Please take it with you. I hope that it is going to be a global model soon. And what do we expect from you? We need advocates for a global system. Each and every one of you is an advocate for that, hopefully, if I've convinced you of my reasoning. We need the key organizations to participate in a global task force. And we need the key figures to participate in a global task force that would endorse this concept. One system, one language, it would make much better integration and improve effectiveness. And as Sir Michael Marmot said in the opening ceremony yesterday, dare to dream, be pragmatic. I think it is more than a dream. I think it is feasible. And we need to be pragmatic because we need to come up with a system that would strengthen public health in the face of austerity, in the face of political agendas, and have a common set of definable functions that we know that we are going to deliver on. Thank you for listening.